close your eyes and let's go to the Lord.
Deva nidu margamulanu nirpinchumu yesaya. Deva nidu margamulanu nirpinchumu yesaya.
Lord, we come to your presence and give you thanks. We thank and praise you, Lord, for all your blessings in our life. As we meditate your word, O Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, my rock and my redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen, Amen, and Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you know what series we are doing? We are in which book? We are in the First John epistle. We are doing the epistle. And you know, today is a good, interesting topic for us. Very good, interesting topic for us. Let's go to First John, second chapter. First John, second chapter. First John, second chapter, I'm reading from verse 18. First John, second chapter, I'm reading from verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Who's coming? Antichrist is coming. This is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they wouldn't have remained with us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing. What we have? We have anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. What we know? We know the truth. I did not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anything to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things And as that anointing is real, not counterfeits, just as it has taught you, remains in you. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
It's a beautiful, right? Beautiful. And you know, John, and that's the reason he gives us a good illustration about himself. He says, if I am writing to you this letter to understand who is Jesus, who is God, and what is Holy Spirit, let me tell you, first, I have touched it. I spoke to him. I sat with him. I heard him. I have experienced. Personally, I have experienced. And every word what he has said to me, it's in my heart. So therefore, my experience makes me to stand as evidence. That is the testimony. The meaning of testimony is standing as an evidence. I stand as an evidence and I write to you. My friends, unless and until, this is again and again I'm telling you, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we will never testify. We will never be an evidence to God in this world. If you cannot stand and say something, tell yourself, I have not experienced the power of God in my life. Every person who experienced the power of God has something to say about the living God. Say amen. Every person who experienced the power of God has something to say about the living God. Now, John is bringing us something different because he wants us to be aware. He wants us to be aware of the things happening in this world. Why he's bringing out? This is not a new theology what he's bringing. But he heard from his master. He heard from his master. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, when he was speaking to his disciples, he says, my time has come, I'm going. What he said? My time has come, I am going, but the prince of this world is going to come. Who is going to come? The prince of this world is going to come. Let's go to John Gospel. We'll listen from our Savior's word, his own mouth. John chapter 14 and verse 30. John chapter 4 verse 13. I will not speak with you much longer. I will not speak with you much longer. I will not speak with you for much longer. That means the time has finished. We have come to an end in this journey. So I won't be with you and I will not be speaking to you for much longer. For the prince of this world is coming. Who is coming? The prince of this world is coming. Now who is saying this? Who is saying? Jesus himself is saying that prince of this world is going to come. Prince of this world is going to come. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now here, the disciples have asked him a question. Disciples have asked him a question. Sitting at the Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the ages? Now Jesus explains the many things. In that, verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that were possible. Now who is going to come? The false. Now here, let's go to 1 John, 2nd chapter. Dear children, this is the last hour. Now before that, John heard from his master saying that, you know, in the last days, the false prophets will come. They will do great wonders and things are going to happen. Not only that, my time has come. I'm going. The prince of this world is going to come. The prince of this world is going to come. Now this has been warned by Jesus himself. Now keeping this in mind, John brings it. To our attention. He says, dear children, this is the last hour. This is the last hour. That means the time has come. This is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Antichrist. What is the word? Jesus has used the word, the prince of this world. The false Christ. The false prophet. Okay? Now John is using, only John has used this word, Antichrist. And in episode, we see that there are four times John has used this word Antichrist. There are four times John has used Antichrist. Now, what is the meaning of Antichrist? Antichrist, is it one person or many person? Okay? Or many persons or one person? Now, we have to see. He says, there are many Antichrist. First, he says that the Antichrist is coming. Who is coming? He's talking about one person. Now it says, many antichrists have gone out already. So there are two things, what he's saying. So what is this? Who is this antichrist? And whom at we are looking, okay? That's the big question mark for us, so that we will be very careful in our life. Antichrist, when I was reading for the original script in Greek, it never said antichrist. It said, instead Christ. Instead, Christ. What is the word? Instead. That is the word used in Greek. I was reading the interlinear, which is the original Hebrew text. And in that, it has been used instead. So, let us see the meaning. When it says, Antichrist means against, opposite. Okay? And when you use that word instead, when you use that word instead, that means substitute. What is the word? Substitute. Vakariki baduluga. Substitute entendi? Vakariki baduluga. Kristuku baduluga vachuvaru. Instead of Christ. Christ is anointed, right? Christ is anointed. And before we have come into this episode, I have explained to you what is the meaning of Christ. Because at the Christmas time, we heard, right? He will be Christ. Jesus Christ. And here it says, Christ is going to come. That means a substitute is going to come. But this substitute is an opposite person of Christ. This substitute is against Jesus Christ. Against Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Now this substitute is not going to save us. You get me? He's not going to save us, but you know, this man has been given tremendous power. This man has been given tremendous power. Tremendous power this man has been given. If you go to Revelation chapter 13, there, John, again, Revelation is written by John, and he mentions, he doesn't mention Antichrist, he says beast. He uses that word, beast. He uses that word, beast. 13th chapter. Revelation chapter 13. Here, I'm reading from verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God, and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of the life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, this guy is going to be given authority and power. What is he going to give? Be getting? Authority and power. Political authority he's going to get. He's going to get power. He's going to get authority and power. You think that, okay, it is going to be easy for us to identify this guy. No, you have to keep it in mind. And if we are talking about a singular person, it is always good to go and read Daniel chapter 7. You will understand what is happening, okay? You will understand Daniel chapter 17. And here it says, this man is going to get authority, and this man is going to get power. Now, when a man gets authority and power, how this man will be? Will he be a simple person? He won't be a simple person. But to gain this authority and power, in the beginning, he will be a very humble person. You know, I was reading an article. So they said, who is this Antichrist? Who is this Antichrist? They wanted to research Antichrist. So, these three people's name appeared, but they all, we don't know, because all these people were in the power and authority, but we don't know. But let me tell you something, this guy is going to be very different. This guy is going to be very different. He will be a very humble person in the beginning, and everybody would love to lie. We wanted a change in the United States, right? And everybody was taken. Every youth was drawn into, they were sucked into that new era. We want change, we want change, we want change. After 6 years, we see what change? No change. You get me? No change. But people, in the beginning, when they heard change, 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 they had no concept what is happening. They all agreed unanimous. This is the same situation is going to happen, because this guy will pose like a very good man. All he wants is to come to authority. All he wants to gain the power. So to gain the power, in the beginning, people, they are very, very humble. And you will start liking this guy. And you know, as soon as he comes to the top, then he says, okay, let me show my colors what I want to do, what change I want to bring, let me bring. But you know, this guy, how he will act, and how he will deceive us. The Satan, how he's going to act and how he's going to deceive. Because see, Jesus said, the prince of this world is going to come. What he said? Prince of this world is going to come. Because in chapter 12 when we read, then I heard a great voice, a loud voice, it is from verse 12, in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accused him before God day and night have been herald. That means he has been thrown down. He has been thrown down. That means he has been forcefully pulled down. He has forcefully come down. So they became him, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much, so they didn't cry in a high pitch for death. Therefore, rejoice heaven and you who dwell in them. But woe, this is the 12th verse, 12:12. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil had gone down to you. Where is he gone? Jesus is speaking in the future tense. He is going to come. As soon as the death of Jesus, as soon as he went into the heaven with the holy place, most holy place, when he entered with his blood, he has defeated the devil and he was thrown down. Now, where is he? Where is he? He is here. The last hour is going to come. Antichrist, who will be against Christ, who is opponent of Christ, but he will act as a substitute of Christ. He is going to come to deceive you. The most elected people, Jesus said, even the elected people who know the word of God, who know the word of God, will be deceived. Will be deceived by his words. అంటే అంత తీయగా మాట్లాడుతున్నాడు అంత మంచిగా మాట్లాడుతున్నాడు నేనే 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 ఐఎమ్ డోంట్ వరీ అబౌట్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఐఎమ్ అండ్ వీ విల్ ఆల్ బి టేకెన్ అవుట్ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ అ డిసీవర్ హీ నోస్ హౌ టు డిసీవ్ రైట్ హీ నోస్ హౌ టు డిసీవ్ హీ నోస్ హౌ టు టెల్ ద లైస్ సో దేర్ ఫోర్ హియర్ ద వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ సేస్ బట్ woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury. He's filled with anger, because he's defeated on the earth, in the heaven. He's defeated in the heaven. Now he has come down to earth so that he will deceive us. So he's filled with anger. He's filled with anger. So therefore we are warned. He says he's filled with fury, because he knows that his time is very short. His time is very short. His time is very, very short. His time is very short. And you know, Jesus said, who is this guy? Jesus said, who is this guy? He described in John chapter 8. Let us go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus said to them, if God were your fathers, you would have loved me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And who is this father? Devil. And your father, devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Ah. Right? He is a liar and he's the father of lie. And what is his native language? Oh, ayanaku matru bhasha kuda undanta. Em undandi? Kada? He has his own language anta. Native language. What is his native language? Lies. Abadhalu. నువ్వు ఎప్పుడన్నా అబద్ధం చెప్పినావు అనుకో, ఏమంటున్నా, ఎవరన్నా ఎప్పుడన్నా అబద్ధాలు చెప్తే ఏంటన్నా, యూఆర్ స్పీకింగ్ డెవిల్స్ లాంగ్వేజ్. బికాస్ ద డెవిల్స్ లాంగ్వేజ్ ఈజ్ టెలింగ్ లైస్. ఉన్నదాన్ని లేనిలానగా చేయడం. నీకు నల్లది చూపెట్టి తెల్లదంటాడు. నువ్వు కాదు ఇది నల్లదంటే నిన్ను తెల్లది నల్లదంటే నువ్వు తెల్లదని ఒప్పుకునే వరకు నిన్ను మాయం చేసేస్తాడు, మాయగాడు అంట. దట్స్ ద రీజన్ యునో జీసస్ వాంట్ జీసస్ వాంట్ ఈవెన్ ఇన్ ద వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ మెరికల్స్ హీలింగ్స్ ఈ విల్ డూ హీలింగ్స్ ఈ విల్ డూ మెరికల్స్. ఇప్పుడు మన చర్చెస్ లోపల చాలా అయిపోయినాయి, ఫెలోషిప్స్ లోపల చాలా అయిపోయినాయి. మెరికల్ మీటింగ్స్ లేకుంటే హీలింగ్ మీటింగ్స్ అంటే చర్చ్కు రారు, అక్కడ కురుకుతారు. దే రన్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్. అండ్ యు నో హీ వాంట్స్ దిస్ పీపుల్, హీ వాంట్స్ దిస్ పీపుల్, హీస్ వెయిటింగ్. అండ్ మెనీ పీపుల్ విల్ బి డిసీవ్డ్, మెనీ పీపుల్ విల్ బి డిసీవ్డ్, బికాస్ వెన్ వీ డూ నాట్ నో ద వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. నౌ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రీజన్ ఐ ఆస్క్ చిల్డ్రన్ టు బై హార్ట్ ద వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్? వెన్ జీసస్ వాస్ టెంప్టెడ్, వాట్ డిడ్ హీ డూ? He used the word of God. He proclaimed the word of God. Am I right? If you don't know the word of God, you will be deceived. So, now let us go to Paul. What Paul is saying in Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Now he uses this man's name is lawless person. What is the name he uses? Antichrist, beast, prince of this world. Lawless person is the same person. Okay? Is the same person what they are using. Name. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being together to him, we ask you, brothers, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of unlawfulness is revealed. The man of unlawfulness is rebelled. Now this man rebels. And this man is unlawful. Reveals. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do what so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeits, miracles, signs, and wonders. It's a substitute. Counterfeits, right? The meaning of counterfeit is substitute. What he's doing? Miracles, signs, everything. Ipudu manam em anukunta, ore aina devun sevakudu bhai cheyabedte kinda padipothu. That's what we see. Right? Not understanding the word of God. There are people, God's people. God's people, God has anointed people. But we should be able to examine every spirit. You know, 1 John 4th chapter, John is writing, test every spirit. What he says? Test every spirit. And how can you test without knowing the subject? Can you write an exam without knowing the subject? No. The subject is Jesus himself. The object also is Jesus himself. Yesterday I was talking. You know, in the four gospel, the subject is Jesus. And John brings that object out and he says, the word was with God, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that word was the life and the light of this world. What was that world? The word was the light and the... That is the object. Right? That is the object. Jesus Christ is the life and light of us. This man is going to come and deceive, my friends. If you don't know the word of God in your life, if you don't know the word of God in your life, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. And therefore, you should know the subject. Whenever you are put to test, if you know the subject, you will answer rightly. And God is going to bless us. God is going to bless us. But you know, let's see. When the word of God says that this guy is going to act like a substitute, he's not going to teach you anything good. He says, what he says? According, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeits, miracles, signs, and wonders. He's Satan. He's a liar. Who is he? He's a liar. The same tactics what he has used in the Garden of Eden is going to use again. The same tactics what he has used in the Garden of Eden to deceive Adam and Eve is going to use. He's going to use. And if we do not love God and if we do not love the word of God, if the word of God is not in us, very fast we are going to be destroyed. Very fast we are going to be destroyed. But you know, Jesus Christ is our real substitute. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is our real substitute. He is the Son of God who had come. In him is life. In him is light. And we follow Jesus Christ. And he died for you and for me. You know, this word substitute is a very good word. This word substitute is a very good word. To understand what Jesus has done for you and for me, instead of us when he died for us as a substitute, how the work has been done to release us from the clutches of Satan. I will just explain to you. Okay? That will be good. Now, first let me tell you something. We have sinned against God and we have fallen short of the glory of God. So God is angry on you. God is angry on me. Okay? And somebody needs to come and turn that anger. That's the reason I also preached on the word propitiation. Turning the anger of God. Satisfying the anger of God. Okay? Now many times we think that when Jesus Christ came, he paid the price to Satan. Many people, they use that. But it's wrong. Jesus paid the price to God. Okay? Now, let me ask you. Now, here is Jesus. Here is God. And Adam and Eve were his children. Now, this guy comes and snatches him and takes him. So, Adam and Eve are with Satan. Now, Jesus comes to deliver us. Now, what should Jesus do? He should pay the price to Satan and get these people back, or what should he do? Now see, people think that, oh, he has come, So he will pay the price and he will bring these people to back to God. That's what is our thinking. If he brings these people from Satan to the God, he's not going to satisfy the wrath of God. The wrath of God is same, because these people are forced to come to God. These people are not coming on their own. You get my point? These people are not coming on their own. These people are forced to come, and Jesus is paying price to the unwanted guy. That's not the right thing. God is all powerful. How many of you say God is all powerful? Amen. Now see what happened when Jesus Christ had come. He paid the price for us. He died on the cross of Calvary so that the anger of God may be turned away from us. Propitiation. The anger of God. He turned the anger of God from us, and the love of God has been on us. God who will deliver us from the clutches of Satan. Jesus never came to pay the price to Satan. He came the price to pay God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Be imitator of God, therefore, as dear beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to whom? To God, not to anybody else. Jesus came and sacrificed himself and satisfied the wrath of God so that we may be delivered from Satan's clutch. So he stood as a substitute for us. Now what is the substitute? What is a substitute? Good example. You know, beautiful example is, let's go to Genesis chapter 22. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now God said that, Abraham, do you love me? And Abraham said, Lord, I love you so much. So Abraham, do one thing. Sacrifice your son, only one son. And he says, Lord, I'm going to do it. And God said, okay, go to Mount Moriah. I will show you where you have to sacrifice on that mountain. There are many mountains in that. And God said, I'm going to show you where you're going to do it. So that journey was 3 days' journey from Abraham's house. And Abraham took everything, right? Abraham took everything, his son on a donkey, his servants, and firewood. Everything he took, and they started the journey. When they started the journey, they went and they came to the place where he has to sacrifice. And he tells his servants that we are going to go and offer sacrifice to God and we will come back. That's the word what he used. We will come back, the word of faith. He says, I'm taking my son, but we will come back because I know the heart of God. I know what God is going to do for you, do for me. And he took his son. While going, the son says, Dad, everything is there. But for offering, where is the animal? And what did Abraham say? God will provide. Come on, son, let's go. And he took his son. He took his son and he tied him. And he put him on the altar. And he was about to sacrifice him. And he hears a voice saying that, Abraham, now I know that how much you love me. You are a man of faith. And immediately, in that chapter 22, verse 13 onwards, I'm reading. Abraham, okay, from verse 12 I'll read. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said, that is God. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering What is that word? Burnt offering instead. Beautiful, right? Instead. What is the meaning of instead? Substitute. What is the meaning of instead? Substitute. That word, while I was driving, I asked my daughter, I said, vicarious. What is the meaning of vicarious? V-I-C-A-R-I-O-U-S. Right? That is the word. Substitutionary sacrifice. Substitutionary sacrifice. Instead. He has seen a ram. Instead of his son Isaac, God provided him a ram. You and I was in the same place to die for our sins. Instead, God used the Lamb of God for you and for me. Can you say amen? Instead, substitute. You know, in Jewish culture, every year they have to celebrate Passover, because this Passover has started from Egypt. The last night when God passed through Egypt, he said, tonight I'm going to pass. But this night, what you have to do is you need to sacrifice, kill an animal, lamb. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, I'm reading. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household, now this is what it says. Each family has to take a lamb. Okay? Each family has to take a lamb. Now, when each family has to take a lamb, is it only for once they are doing? Let's go to Exodus chapter 29 and 38 and 39. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29, verse 38 and 39. I want somebody to read loud. 29:30. Now this is which thou hast offered upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And this has to be done every year. Right? Every year they will do it, but every day, right, at the altar, morning and evening, they are sacrificing the lamb. Every day, morning prayers, evening prayers, morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, telling that the Messiah, the Lamb of God, is going to come and die for us instead of this. That was the rituals, what they were doing. And you know, when you go to John chapter 1 and verse 29, John 1, 29. John 1, 29. And one day, John saw Jesus coming and he says, behold the Lamb of God. What he says? Behold, the Lamb of God is coming. Behold, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He will take away the sins of the world. He's our substitute. He's our substitute. He will take away the sins of the world. And not only that, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Who has been sacrificed? Substitute Abraham and Isaac. Instead of Isaac, who died? The lamb died. Who is that lamb? the lamb which was sacrificed day and night, instead of that lamb came the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was the Lamb of the sacrifice, Passover lamb. It was a Passover lamb. Jesus was sacrificed for you and for me, instead of us. He's the substitute. But this guy is going to come and pose as Jesus. He will deceive us. Unless and until you know the word of God, unless and until you are in the presence of God, unless and until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, unless and until you know who is God in your life, my friends, we will be deceived. Even the elected ones will be deceived. And tonight, the word of God is telling. John is explaining to us, you are anointed. You have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Let's go to 1 John 2nd chapter. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you. What is he going to teach us? What is he going to tell us? Now he says, but dear friends, let us love. You know, dear friends, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is Christ. Such man is an antichrist. But here he says, I'm writing to you these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. You know, for Saturday prayer on 29th March, our title for prayer is John 15 and verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask anything, my Father will give to you. Remaining in Christ, the anointing of God will make us to hold him. It will make us to hold him. Anointing of Christ will make us to be in his presence. Our anointing of Christ will teach us. The Holy Spirit will teach us. And therefore he says, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is that anointing is real, not counterfeits. You know, when we have the anointing of God, you will tell who is true and who is false. Because the word of the anointing, the Holy Spirit tells you. When I see some people, immediately my heart says, no, keep yourself away from. That is the Holy Spirit telling us. We will not follow everybody, my friends. But if God has chosen you, if I have anointing, he will use me to speak to you. If you are not chosen by God, and if you are trying to deceive other people, God will tell me to keep away from you. That is the anointing of God. The hour is coming. If you love this world, you're gone. John explains to us, greater is he who is in you than the person who is in the world. Lokamulo unnavani kante neelo unnavadu gopavadanta. Adi evarandi? Mana Yesaya. He's our Christ who died for us. Instead of us, he died. He was our substitution. He died for us. He sacrificed. He gave his life. He shed his blood. And through his blood, we have been anointed. There is a seal of anointing on us. Nobody can touch us, but we need to remain in God. We need to remain in God. Then only we will understand what God wants us to do. Let's bow down our heads. Prayer. This evening, as we come into the presence of God, let us look to the cross of Calvary. Let us look to the cross of Calvary where you will see the Lamb of God. Lamb of God who died for you and for me. He substituted. He gave his life so that we may have life eternal. We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit because of his blood. My friends, the word of God is very clear. The Lamb of God has come so that we may have life abundance. He is the life and he is the light. He is the light of this world. And he came that we may have life abundance. If you want me to pray, just raise your hands. I'll just pray for you wherever you sit. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to your presence and give you thanks. We thank and praise you for your word. Thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, who was not against us, who never came to judge this world, but he came to deliver this world, oh Father. He came to this world and he loved this world, oh Lord. He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Thank you. And our Savior died for us as a substitute. And this evening we give you thanks, praise and glory and honor. Fill us with your Spirit and with your word, oh Father, so that, Lord, we will walk with you and talk with you and understand your plan and purpose. This evening we give you thanks, and as we get ready, oh Lord, prepare ourselves to take part in the communion. Let your presence be with us. And of God's people said, Amen, Amen, Amen.